somebody really has to pull something incredible off to knock them off being the king of the mountain. So to me, Georgia is the option at number one.
Yeah, I'm right with you. My number one is I'm sorry.
you flipped it. You need to turn it back around.
I forgot.
It's time for the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast.
So, Darren, 35 years ago, one of the arguably greatest movies was ever released. And I'm going to give you three quotes that the main character in this movie shared, and see if you know which movie this is.
Okay, shoot.
Here are three rules. Number one, never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected. Number two, take it outside. Never start anything inside the bar. And number three, be nice.
There is only one movie. I was already kind of leaning that way. And then when we got to number two and it was take it outside, it has to be Roadhouse. That's
what a great movie. Patrick Swayze, Sam Elliott. Oh, just a classic.
That's one of the greats. And man, what two great people to have in a movie. Those two, that's fantastic. Yeah.
And I think the rest of Be Nice is be nice until it's time to not be nice.
Yeah. Exactly. I think you're right.
But 35 years ago, that's wow.
Unreal.
And to think that Patrick Swayze is no longer with us.
Yep. That's hard to really even comprehend. You just, when you think about some of the great movies and stuff he's done, and even Saturday Night Live skits that he's done.
Oh, remember the one him and Chris Farley, the Chippendales?
You're talking about an all-time great.
We may have to do an SNL episode sometime in the offseason. We need
to at some point, because there's been some great ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got a lot of news to talk about in the sports world tonight, so we're going to jump right into it. SEC softball, Darren, starts this weekend, right?
Yeah. The NCAA does. SEC. Okay. Yeah, SEC finished up at the NCAA, and like we talked about last week, we've got 15 teams that are in it. So it starts this weekend. Like you said, I believe it's Saturday, which is going to be, man, you're talking about a lot of action. You got SEC baseball, SEC softball, going to have a lot going on, but it does start, and the regional is just full of SEC teams. Pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. And we're going to talk about baseball a little later. That's equally as exciting, but we definitely don't want to leave out softball.
Yep.
Speaking of postseason play, the NBA playoffs are now into the conference finals, Eastern Conference, Western Conference finals. And a few episodes ago, we mentioned the number of SEC players, former SEC players, who are currently playing in the NBA. And so the Eastern Conference finals feature Boston versus Indiana. Indiana shocked the Knicks in game seven. Yeah. Shooting 67% from the field. I think that's a playoff record.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unbelievable. But they've got two players coming off the bench, Isaiah Jackson from Kentucky and Aaron Nesmith from Vanderbilt. And Darren, I'm gonna give Nesmith props. That guy is a defender. If you want to put somebody on the other team's best scorer, you get Nesmith in there.
I tell you, that is truly, you can say what you want to say about Jerry Stackhouse's tenure at Vanderbilt, but he was a big, big stickler on defense creates offense, and they were going to, even if they couldn't shoot, which ended up being the case for a lot of the guys, even if they were to shoot, couldn't shoot, they were going to defend and going to defend tough and play with absolute tenacity. And you can see that that was obviously developed in his game during his time under Stackhouse.
Yeah, I enjoy guys that play defense and rebound, and Nesmith is doing that. And we're not listing all the SEC players from each team. We're just highlighting a few from each team. Boston, of course, has the ageless Al Horford of the Florida Gators.
That's amazing.
And he's, you know, Porzingis is out for Boston, so Horford's getting more minutes, and the guy's stepping up. He really wants that championship ring before he retires.
Absolutely.
Over on the Western Conference side, the Dallas Mavericks have two starters, former SEC players, Daniel Gafford from Arkansas and PJ Washington, who has really blossomed in these playoffs, of course, from Kentucky. I think he's the third leading scorer behind Doncic and Kyrie Irving. So he's had a great playoffs.
Yep.
And then on the other side, their opponent, Minnesota, you've got two starters as well. Anthony Edwards, who is having a breakout season. Carl Anthony Towns, who's continuing to play strong. And then they got Naz Reid coming off the bench. So you've got Georgia, Kentucky, and LSU represented on Minnesota. So even with four teams left in the NBA playoffs, really good representative from SEC schools.
Still got a lot of SEC guys, which is awesome.
So it's been a lot of fun to watch.
Yep.
Well, let's move over to an interesting news item that came out this week, going to Division III baseball. Birmingham Southern has advanced to the Division III Super Regionals. Why is that newsworthy? Because the school is going to shut down on May 31st, close.
Wow.
If Birmingham Southern advances to the D3 College World Series, they're going to play for a school that technically doesn't exist. It's closed.
My first question is, how does that even work budget-wise? How is somebody funding trips to a place that doesn't exist for a place that doesn't exist? That's really odd. Yeah. But wouldn't it be cool for that to be the story, that you've got these guys giving their all in the College World Series and advancing, and their school literally doesn't exist anymore? That would be a very, very cool story. I hope that continues just for the story of it. That'd be really neat.
I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be rooting for them.
Yep, absolutely.
They're in the Transylvania Regional, so we will keep eyes on Birmingham Southern. In SEC news, some items we want to mention before we get into baseball and our way too early SEC football top five. Mississippi State basketball coach, men's basketball coach Chris Jans, has signed a contract extension through 2027-28. His base salary is increased by about $1 million, up to 4.2. It includes an annual increase and performance-based incentives. That was originally reported, at least I saw it originally, from Pete Thamel. Yep. So make sure I want to give him credit. But Mississippi State investing in basketball.
Yeah. He has done – I mean, as an SEC school, with the way the SEC stands today, he's done exactly what they needed him to do in elevating that program. You could tell a definitive difference in the way that team looked on the floor this year compared to previous years. And like you said, I guess the coolest part of this story is, or one of the things you have to kind of pay attention to, is this is truly a sign that everyone in the conference better take basketball serious, and most of the schools are starting to, when you have SEC or Mississippi State putting this kind of money into basketball.
Yeah. I like to see it. I like to see their commitment. They're making absolutely to Jans. He's done a good job.
Yep.
In some very sad news, we have to report that Auburn running back Brian Batty is in critical condition following a shooting in his hometown of Sarasota, Florida, over the weekend, a shooting in which his older brother was killed.
Right.
And so we hate to hear that news. I believe that Batty is on the ventilator, is I think the last thing I saw from Coach Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
But we're definitely praying for his recovery, and we hate to hear about things like this happening.
Absolutely. Just tragic to hear. Regardless of sport, regardless of anytime you hear something like this, especially when it involves someone so young that had so much life in front of them, it's just very tragic, very heartbreaking to hear.
Yeah, it is. It is. So we will keep that family, of course, in our thoughts and prayers, and
absolutely
look for updates as we get them. Speaking of updates, did you happen to see, Darren, the new SEC promo with the song Delta Dawn by Tanya Tucker? Oh,
is that not fantastic?
Phenomenal.
I wish we could put it in, but I'm afraid we'd get in trouble. I'm afraid we'd get the YouTube. So I don't...
Wouldn't be the first time.
No, well, that's true. We might throw it in right here. And if it's not here, you know that we got X'd by YouTube and had to take it out.
But now that we've debated the if it's permissible, right here for everybody to hear. We can't plead ignorance if we do it and they say, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, we didn't know. We didn't know.
Well, we are stating for the record, we thought it was shareable. There you go.
Oh, goodness. But yeah, it's if you haven't checked it out yet, go check it out. It's well done. Man,
I'll tell you what we'll do is we'll put a link in the description of the show. When it's this segment, this little the news and notes segment out to the side where it has news and notes, there'll be a link to that, and you click on it and watch it. That way, we don't have to worry about any YouTube strikes.
well planned. I like that you just did that right on the fly, Darren. That's right. Really, stepping up in a tight situation there.
It might be my best moment of the night, though. So hopefully not. But.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope
exactly.
For this show will go down in a hurry. Well, why don't we take a break right now and head over to our Sports History Minute, sponsored by
Minute Maid? No, it's just the first thing popped in my head.
Currently, sponsorship is available.
There you go.
But hurry up because it's going fast.
It'll be gone like that.
Let's check it out.
In a stunning display of audacity and athleticism, Bill Marinangel, Vanderbilt's punter, executed a play that etched his name in college football lore. On September 14th, 1996, against the formidable Alabama Crimson Tide, Marinangel was called upon for a routine punt. However, the play that unfolded was anything but routine. With the Commodores pinned deep in their own territory, Marinangel received the snap, and instead of punting, he bolted down the field. The Alabama defense, caught completely off guard, could only watch as Marinangel dashed 81 yards to score a touchdown. This remarkable run not only showcased Marinangel's speed and decisiveness, but also his daring. It remained the longest run in Vanderbilt's history until 2012. Though Vanderbilt ultimately fell to Alabama 36-26, Marinangel's fake punt touchdown remains a legendary moment in Vanderbilt football history.
Oh, thank you.
We are 24 days from Omaha.
Yay. I'm ready. Of course, we got a good ramp up with what's going on this week, but I'm ready. I'm excited.
Before we get to Omaha, we have the SEC tournament to talk about. So let's talk a little bit about SEC baseball. Darren, you want to start with the top 25?
There you go.
Tennessee, the Volunteers, still holding on to that number one spot, and they received a number one seed in the SEC tournament.
Yes. And as much as I hate to give fun facts that are of the color orange, they are the first school in SEC history to win regular season basketball, regular season baseball, and regular season softball championship in the same year. So, got to give props. That's a pretty cool accomplishment.
A lot of reasons to celebrate in Knoxville.
Yep.
You hear that, Brandon? Are you listening?
He's already celebrating.
You've got to be more positive about your school, man.
That's right. That's right.
Number two, the Wildcats from Lexington.
Awesome.
At four, the Aggies are hanging in there. Arkansas at five. We're still counting OU in there early. We know. The Sooners at 8, Georgia at 11, the Bulldogs at 15, and the Longhorns at 24. That's your top 25. So let's talk a little bit about the SEC tournament and the two brackets. We're starting off with Georgia, a 6th seed against 11-seeded LSU. Then we got Alabama, 7th seed against 10th seed of South Carolina. Y'all can read this, I'm sure, at home. Darren, thanks for blowing this up so we could read it, because the print was really small.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think about these initial two games in bracket one?
Well, I tell you, to me, the one that just screams, The one that screams upset alert to me is the LSU-Georgia game, because Georgia has been good this year. There is no disputing that. Their bats have been alive at times, but they've also had a little bit of a Vanderbilt kind of momentum or lack of momentum sometimes, where the bats kind of go dead. Their bullpen can fail them at times. LSU has streaked at the right time. I mean, they still have some batting issues. Their bats can absolutely disappear, which this is the wrong setting to do that, but it could happen. Their bullpen has improved. So to me, the one that really jumps out as kind of an upset alert is the LSU-Georgia game. I think LSU has a real shot at that one. South Carolina could be an upset alert, but they just scare me. I don't think they have the right momentum going into the tournament. I think South Carolina will end up in the loser's bracket, but still two fun games to start off for sure.
Well, I don't think this is single elimination.
No, next year's the first single elimination.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
This year's the final double elimination.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. I thought those first games were,
Yeah. That'll be next year. They're dropping.
I'm reading that wrong.
Yeah. All teams will go. That'll be another change for next year. All teams will go. There won't be anybody left out, and it'll be a single elimination tournament.
Okay. Okay.
Because of the addition of Texas and Oklahoma.
Okay. I think LSU is playing for their lives. Jay Johnson mm-hmm. said earlier this week he believes that they should be in the tournament, but you know how the national –
yeah,
there's always a national bias against the SEC, not giving anything to the SEC. So I think LSU needs to get a few more wins under their belt to solidify that. Let's go down to bracket two, where Vanderbilt, an eighth seed, will be facing off against ninth seeded Florida and fifth seeded Mississippi State against, it's the Egg Bowl in baseball, 12th seeded Ole Miss. Any thoughts on these two games, Darren?
I think Vanderbilt fans are going to be real disappointed. There's just a history there. Florida has Vanderbilt's number. Florida, as a rule, has a very aggressive mentality and for whatever reason has the ability to get in Vanderbilt's head. And I think it can be a worst-case scenario for Vanderbilt, because if you have an LSU that really takes off, a South Carolina that really takes off, if they were to upset Alabama, then you're really affecting – what you look like is a regional. Are you going to miss the tournament, the NCAA tournament, because of a poor performance? I think that's a real possibility here, but I know we're skipping ahead just a little, but it's a tough draw for Vanderbilt. Even if they beat Florida, they walk into a game against Tennessee whose bats have just had Vanderbilt's number. So it's a very tough draw. I think Mississippi State's going to do what they need to do. I just don't think Ole Miss can really honestly challenge Mississippi State. I think it'll be a good, strong showing for Mississippi State.
Yeah, I agree with you on Mississippi State. I'm gonna stick with the Commodores here. I'm going to go with Vanderbilt and encourage you to be more supportive of your own school.
But I tell you, the one thing I will say is if the pitching takes off, they can do something, but that's scary.
Yeah, of course. Of course. You are cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm trying to put a positive spin on this, Darren.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll go with cautiously optimistic. I can definitely be that.
Right. You and Brandon both. Kentucky, Arkansas, Tennessee, and A&M all have first round byes, and they will be waiting in the wings for the winners of these four games. And so that's your SEC tournament that starts today, Tuesday, 9:30 AM is the first game. And if you love baseball and you love the SEC, this is a great week for you.
I can tell you now, let's say you're watching this at 8 o'clock in the morning. There's a game that's going to be coming on in the next hour and a half. And I can already feel a little bit of cold, some congestion. I'm probably going to have to go home in the next hour and a half. So just saying, I can already feel it coming.
Doesn't the guy you work for watch this show?
That's exactly what I was about to say. As I'm saying this, it's probably Tuesday morning, and my boss is listening to the podcast, the audio version of it. So I might should have kept that to myself.
I find your honesty refreshing, and it may be disarming both to your boss and to YouTube if we tried to put in that video. They may just say, you know, at least they were honest.
That's right. About
it. They told us they were going to do it.
At least they were up front.
So that's your SEC tournament. What do you say, Darren? Let's look at this, the SEC.
Where regional projections, where we coming out as of today. This does not take into account.
My brain doesn't work that fast, Darren. It was like I was reading a foreign language for a second. I said, what just happened here?
These are projections if the season ended today. This doesn't take into account any performance in the SEC tournament. In the East, you have Tennessee, Kentucky, and Georgia all slated as regional hosts, projected to be regional hosts. And again, even after the way Tennessee's and Kentucky's weekends went, Kentucky is still holding on to that projected number one seed, which is really interesting. Number one in the country and not even number one in your own division is pretty interesting, but nonetheless. And then Vanderbilt, and as of right now, Vanderbilt in Florida are the two SEC East teams making the regional, projected for the regional. South Carolina is one of the first four, or actually I think maybe first eight out. They didn't even make the first four. But that's one of the reasons why that Florida-Vanderbilt game scares me so much, because when you got both of them sitting right there on the edge, that's a little scary for both of those teams. And then in the West, you have Arkansas and A&M, both as regional hosts, and then Mississippi State. This is a change from last week. We had LSU as one of the first four out. LSU is now slated to be in a regional, as along with Alabama, and Ole Miss is the odd man out of the teams that are making the SEC tournament that's not projected to make a regional.
Gonna make the tournament even more fun to watch.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot at stake for a lot of these teams. It makes it even more fun. You're right.
It's always better when there's a lot at stake.
Absolutely. Oh, my brain took a nap. Like I see, I'm already at 9 o'clock feeling sick and having to go home.
I thought it was the orange that you saw there, but that's Texas Longhorn orange, Darren.
Yeah, that burnt orange doesn't hurt my feelings yet. They're not completely in. So, so Texas is slated for a regional, projected for a regional, and Oklahoma is still, as they have been for quite a while, is still projected for not only to be in a regional, but to be a regional host.
I love this. You think about it, next year, they will be in the SEC tournament.
Yeah.
And it's just so exciting. You get two quality programs.
Those two teams being a part of the tournament this time next year is just incredible to think about. So exciting.
Well, some people count down the days till 4th of July weekend. Some people count down the days to training camp. Some people count down the days to Halloween, to Thanksgiving, to Christmas. We are counting down the days to the college football season.
Absolutely.
And as we dream about the start of the season, we're going to make some projections, much like the way too early polls you see. This is our way too early SEC football top five, who we think are going to be the top five schools this year in football.
It's never too early to talk about football. Just nope. Never.
Drum roll. Whoa.
That's my drum roll. That's one of my moments right there.
That was better than the one that Mrs. Griswold did in Christmas Vacation. All right, let's get to it, Darren.
Speaking of great movies, though, you have to at least take a moment. Wow, that's such a great movie.
Absolutely.
All right. Want to start with number five?
Let's start with the bottom and work our way up.
All right. You want me to go?
You go. You lead the way.
All right. I am very, very torn on number five. I was pretty clear on 1 through 4. And then when I got to number five, it became a real jumbled mess. So I think I'm going to go with a team that, if I'm right, it will look like it will be my one of my greatest prognostications ever if they could, if they finish the season at number five. So I am going number five is the Missouri Tigers.
Whoa.
So that's my number five team, and I'll hold off till we're kind of wrapping up at the end. I'll throw my other two in because I didn't put them anywhere else. I would have them at six and seven, but my number five is the Missouri Tigers. How about you?
My number five may be a little surprising, but I tend to be harder on new coaches if the former coach was still coaching this team. I would have them much higher, but mm-hmm. I'm waiting to see how Kalen DeBoer adjusts to life in the SEC. I think he's a good coach. I also know the SEC is a whole nother beast.
Absolutely.
So I've got Alabama as my number five.
I'd say that's a good pick. I am closer to being in agreement with that than you would think.
But Eli appreciates your support.
That's right. You know, got to go with our boy Coach Drink. You know, the force is strong with him. I had to give him number five. All right. My number four. I got to give one of our newcomers the props of where it seems they are heading. So my number four is the burnt orange that doesn't hurt my feelings yet, Coach Sark and the Texas Longhorns are coming in at number four.
That might be a good pick. I'm a little harder on Texas. They went to Alabama last year. They beat Alabama. I want to see how they do against a full season of SEC competition.
Very good point.
So my number four, and this may not be a surprise to anybody because I have a hat, a flag, and a shirt on. No secret who I root for. We just put it out there, Darren.
Yep.
I've got LSU. I think Brian Kelly has addressed the defensive fiasco mm-hmm. of the last two seasons. I think he's got the right coaches in place. It's a matter of getting the personnel to gel together, the chemistry to play together. I'm a big fan of Nussmeier at quarterback. I don't mm-hmm. think, of course, when you have a Heisman Trophy winner leave, you expect a little bit of a drop off. And Nussmeier is going to have a learning curve as a full-time starter. But I believe he's going to surprise some people. And I think, of course, LSU's offense is loaded again. If the defense can work things out, then I agree with something that I heard Coach Saban say recently. If they can figure out the defense, watch out.
Yeah.
And so I've got LSU as my number four. How about your number? Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to move on to number three unless you had some additional commentary.
Well, the only additional commentary I have is with my number three pick, I agree with everything you just said and take it up just a notch. My number three is the LSU Tigers.
Oh.
I have them. I think they are going to catch people off guard and be in a position to really make a strong contention. I think they'll fall short. And just to be honest with you, like I was talking about, it's really about 3 through 8, just like it has been in the past. That's kind of a jumbled mess and anybody could end up, but I think LSU has the infrastructure in place, has made the changes that they need to change. And like you said, I really honestly buy completely into Nussmeier. I think he's going to be one of those quarterbacks that were 6-7 games into the season and people outside of LSU are going to be going, where'd this kid come from? I think they're going to be blown away by him. And I think that elevates them. And to me, that puts them finishing out three.
I like that commentary. No argument here.
I thought you might be happy with that one. I'm surprised that I had them higher than you, but we'll leave that be.
You're going to have to put on some purple and gold next week. Well, my number three, I'm riding and going back on the Lane train. I like what he has put together, Ole Miss. I think they are a scary team this year. Jackson Dart, another year in that system. And so I've got Ole Miss as my number three. How about you? Oh, you already said LSU. That's right.
But I have Ole Miss as my
Number two.
I agree with everything you just said. I think what they had already done in recruiting, the way they've compensated, they're still adding running backs. They added two this past weekend out of the transfer portal that will most likely be special teams guys. But one of those guys is a group of 5,000-yard rusher. Coming out of last year. And so they have the most crowded running back room. And to me, the real edge that gives them is what can an offensive mind like Lane Kiffin do with that many options, putting people in different positions and slot positions and all of these different kind of things. To me, if I'm a defensive coordinator that's going to have to face him this year, that's a scary proposition to me. So I think that, again, gives them an edge. And to me, that puts out Ole Miss at number two. How about you?
My number two is Q Rocky Top.
Really?
I'm a believer in what Josh Heupel is doing. I think they're going to sneak up on some people this year, surprise some folks. I've got the Volunteers in the two position.
I'll say something about that in a little bit. So that leaves me at my number one. And I don't think it's real hard to figure out who that is, number one, until somebody does something to prove otherwise. Number one for me is going to be Georgia and what they're doing. You just cannot dispute, refute, whatever word you want to use, what Kirby is doing at Georgia. And there, somebody really has to pull something incredible off to knock them off being the king of the mountain. So to me, Georgia is the option at number one.
Yeah, I'm right with you. My number one is I'm sorry.
you flipped it. You got it. You need to turn it back
around. I forgot. This isn't the math bowl.
Vanderbilt, you mean New Mexico East? Is that
I thought for a second I crossed the line with you. I looked at your face. I'm like, okay, that's courtesy laughter right there.
No.
He's not vibing with this. No, I've got Georgia at number one, just like you, for the same reasons. Kirby Smart's at the top of his game. They're good, and I still think they're mad about being left out of the playoffs last year.
Absolutely.
And they've got an incredibly tough schedule this year.
Yeah.
They start off week one against Clemson.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're going to run the gauntlet, and I think until somebody dethrones them, Georgia's your number one team in the SEC. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of schedule, just real quick, that's one of the things that made me put Missouri, because when you look at their schedule compared to a Georgia, Florida, a Vanderbilt, those are some tough, tough schedules coming into next year or going into next year. And I think Missouri's got a little bit of a better pull from a scheduling perspective. So that's what made me put them at five. And just to throw in that you were talking about Tennessee, I have Tennessee at six and Alabama at seven. I'm expecting a little bit of a drop off at Alabama and Tennessee. There just aren't many Johnny Manziels. I know, you know, Nico is, there's no telling what kind of a year he's going to have, but it is a different world when you are a freshman and you step into that. So I want to buy it because I'm a big Heupel fan, but he's got to prove it before I can make that leap. And that's what made me put Tennessee at six versus Missouri at five.
If Tennessee goes into Norman on September 21st and OU just takes them behind the woodshed.
Yeah.
Then let's just forget everything I said about Tennessee. But if they can go in and they can pull out a victory in Norman, I think some people's heads are going to turn. Like, maybe this Tennessee team's for real, but that is a incredibly big matchup early in the season.
And you know, that's the kind of win that can give a freshman quarterback that confidence to just continue to play even further out of their own head. So that's a really good point. That's a very pivotal game.
And conversely, if OU comes out and just takes it to Tennessee, they get that first big SEC win under their belt. their confidence is sky high, and we could see the Sooners make a big run.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point.
Well, that's our way too early top five SEC football teams. Let us know who your top five are, and if you agreed with any of our picks, or if you disagreed with all of them or one of them, let us know. State the case for your team. We'd love to hear feedback from you.
Absolutely.
To tell us, you know, what you think. Who's your top five? We appreciate you watching the show. Enjoy Omaha. Omaha doesn't start today.
No, SEC starts today.
SEC tournament starts today. Yeah. That's right. So enjoy that as we get closer to Omaha. Wah, wah, wah.
So you, when you're watching this in your real time, you're going to see Omaha with a line through it and SEC underneath it. That's that way you'll still know what we were talking about.
Our editing department didn't catch that.
We're going to fire our intern. Oh, wait, we don't have one. Never mind.
So if anybody would like to volunteer for that position, since Darren does all of this himself and he has a family and a full-time job and he's got to go, you know, feed the hogs and milk the cows and
throw in bush hog. Got a bush hog. That's just
new episodes every Tuesday. Be sure to hit that like button, that subscribe button, so you're notified whenever new episodes come out. Until next time, y'all take care.
Have a great week.
Thank you for making the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast your go-to sports show. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show if you haven't already. Your feedback is so important. Let us know what you think about this week's show. Send an email to brewandshavers@gmail.com or a text to our text line 318-390-3599. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again for listening to the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast. See you next week.